Hello and welcome to the TIFF podcast, where we explore the world of public health, interviewing registrars, academics and leaders in the profession. My name is Kazim Bibijon and I'm a specialty registrar in public health in the UK. The aim of this podcast is to offer a wide panoramic of what it means to work in public health, while hopefully providing some inspiration to those who would like to train in the profession. So this episode, we're joined by Patrick Keating. Patrick is an epidemiological advisor at MSF and has over 10 years experience in global health and field epidemiology. He's developed his skills across a range of experiences, including at the UK Public Health Rapid Support Team, research roles at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, as well as a range of NGOs across the world. Patrick, thanks so much for joining the podcast. It's great to have you on.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
So you've worked in field epidemiology and global health for over 10 years now. What's the sort of story about how you discovered field epidemiology and why you chose it as a career?
Where to start? I had no plans back when I was studying biotechnology in Ireland many years ago that I would end up working in global health. So I ended up doing a PhD in biochemistry. And, you know, doing fundamental research is really a massive privilege. But by the end of it, I was like, it takes such a long time to go from finding something interesting in the lab and then translating that something that's useful for humanity, society at large. And so after I finished, I said, let's leave my proteins behind, essentially, and I went to public health. And as a scientist, essentially at my core, epidemiology within public health was a thing that really kind of stood out to me as something like, oh, this feels like home. And then going further, it was infectious disease epidemiology with this rapidity, the urgency of, you know, trying to prevent infectious diseases. And that kind of led me to think, well, maybe kind of field epidemiology and this outbreak response, surveillance infectious diseases was the way forward for me.
So would you say that the pace of the work was actually one of the reasons that attracted you to field epi?
Yes, because I mean, from the sense of in the master's program and everything, I was like, I mean, the urgency around outbreaks is very real. And so that was like a big change from doing my titrations and pipetting and like my gels. And so it really is like this was something that was really kind of calling to my, I guess, my person of just getting out there, having an impact. And I think that's where infectious disease epi really called me.
But do you feel like it's a sort of double-edged sword in that, you know, the pace of it can be really appealing, but also stressful at the same time, you think?
100%. I was just thinking around, like, I work with MSF. And so in some of our projects, like I think one of more recently, there was a suspected viral hemorrhagic fever cases. Then there was kind of in a short period of time, then there was suspected cholera, suspected measles. And so there's this urgency, but then it feels like fires and you're constantly fighting fires and having to choose priorities and not really knowing, especially with maybe limited lab availability or confirmation, like where this is going. So I think it's can be, there's a lot to do, but there's also like that kind of exhaustion that can come with constantly flipping and moving between things.
And how would you say, I mean, just looking back at your career, what would you say was the main sort of experiences that helped you develop that sort of technical skill set of a field epidemiologist?
Well, I think that, you know, doing a master's in public health was definitely kind of foundational. And I knew going as I went into it that focusing on epidemiology and statistical methods was going to be core for me moving forward. But then after doing the master's, I did the European Program for Intervention Epidemiology Training, so EPIET. I did that back in 2015. And that was, again, really just solidifying a lot of the things I had done at the master's level, but then also applying them to kind of, you know, real problems. So like looking at, I did an evaluation of the hepatitis C surveillance system in Austria, where I was based. I was fortunate enough to go on an assignment with EpiCentre, which is this training and research branch of MSF. So I did an assignment with EpiCentre in DRC back in 2016. And that was another, you know, you see how to do a survey with a measles seroprevalence survey and the logistics and the organizing and the thinking about your sample size and all those things. So that was another really kind of foundational part for me in terms of skill building.
I mean, that two-year program sounds like a really interesting experience. Was there anything else other than the sort of technical ability that you would say you gained from the experience? So maybe for people who are considering going on a EPIET program or an equivalent FETP program, what would you say is the main sort of value that it added to your career as a field epidemiologist?
So I think there's quite a few, really. I think one of the first thing is community. It's like finding your people in that sense. So I think it's not often in our careers that we find groups of people who are similarly minded. So finding 40 odd people who were interested, who were focused and wanting a career in public health and specifically infectious disease epidemiology, and then forming that broader network across Europe of infectious disease epidemiologists, which I think was particularly relevant during COVID, where everybody really reconnected in a much more kind of I guess a stronger and more, I guess, relevant way. I think from EPIET as well, one of the things is it gives a lot of exposure and a lot of opportunity. So it allows work both at a national level. So like everybody will work and have projects in their own public health institute. But from my case, I also got to work with ECDC on a project, a data analysis project, and then also internationally, again, thinking outside of Europe with EpiSon. So I think it gives you exposure to kind of different types of activities at different levels within public health, kind of both local, European, and global in that sense.
So for those that maybe don't know what field epidemiology does day to day, how would you describe the sort of day-to-day life of a field epidemiologist, whether you're responding to an outbreak or a situation that you've been in?
For me, I think very much from an MSF perspective, I think at this point, because I've been with MSF for a couple of years now, like when we talk about EPIs, what they do in the organization, it's really kind of three elements. So surveillance is a bit of infectious disease is a big one. So that includes like designing, implementing, and maintaining and evaluating our surveillance systems. It's also outbreaks, as you were saying, so outbreak investigations. Outbreaks are very common in many of the places where we work. So the teams are often getting different types of rumors or alerts, whether it be suspected cholera cases, suspected anthrax. It really varies depending on the context and having to, follow up and try to understand is this a real kind of public health event or something that's just a rumor. And then going back to operational research, a key component of that really is either analysis of our routine data to see if we can improve how we do our programming, or it can be things like, again, from a very much MSF perspective, we do our bread and butter would be vaccination coverage surveys. So we do a lot of vaccination campaigns, measles primarily, nutrition surveys and mortality surveys. And we use those both to see, how the work is going, but also for advocacy to other actors to see where, like, if there's a greater need, if it needs to be a broader agency response.
Yeah, I guess the nerd in me can't get away from asking this question around your background in the sort of data science component of field epidemiology. I feel like maybe over the last maybe 10 years, that aspect of outbreak response has definitely become more popular and of interest to a lot of people. How would you describe that sort of aspect of your background and how it's changed, I guess, in its role in outbreak response?
Yeah, I mean, I feel all I'm going to talk about is R now, but I guess here we go. Yeah, so when I joined EPIET in Vienna, so everybody was using R, the data analysis software R, and so for me it was like, okay, here's a new software I have to learn, and so this software has now kind of permeated my life, I think, for since in terms of outbreak response. In MSF specifically, we have developed packages, a SITREP package, and it has lots of templates for measles outbreak, kind of SITREPs, and for meningitis and cholera. So I guess the urgency we feel is that we cannot be spending a huge amount of time writing code to be able to provide kind of key information for decision makers to take action. And so we've put kind of efforts to make this kind of more streamlined so that when we do have these kind of emergencies, that the coding is in place and it's really get the information to the decision makers as quickly as possible. But that definitely is growing and growing in importance across MSF and across public health more broadly, whether that be the UK or globally. I think the challenge often is taking the time to build that capacity and prioritizing building that capacity. And that's something that MSF, we're still working on. There's a lot of people who come to us with skills in data kind of science and data analysis, but there's also space for growth in that, in those inner epidemiologists as well. Also depends what they've come to us with. Some people come to us with data and other things. And so we're trying to gently nudge them into this kind of open source, powerful of the packages being developed for outbreaks and more generally for public health in our.
Just on that point, I mean, I know you've worked on a number of emergency outbreak situations, such as, you know, Ebola in 2018. How would you describe, you know, as a field epidemiologist, how would you describe those types of situations and how the challenges, I guess, you would face in applying those technical skills that you've learned on EpiEt into those challenging, you know, scenarios where, you know, there's a lot of other factors in place, whether that's, you know, conflict or migration or those kinds of factors. How do you sort of describe that situation and what did you learn from those experiences?
Yeah, so I joined the UK Public Health Rapid Support Team in 2018. So there was a number of Ebola outbreaks, the largest one in the Kivu, in North Kivu, in 2019. But yeah, I was also part of the team that responded to the 2018 one. I'd never responded to an Ebola outbreak up until that point. So it was all very much learning by doing it in that sense. Ebola is quite, it needs to be very systematic. And so essentially every day is kind of similar in that kind of context. It's really following up alerts and following up on contacts. So there's not too much in terms of real, as a general epi in that space. Like there's not as much kind of technical components. It's really going out to specific places, following up on alerts. Is this a potential Ebola, suspected Ebola case? And then with contact tracing, to seeing kind of gathering information, have all those contacts, do they have any kind of signs of being a potential suspected case? And so that's, it becomes this very routine, and it needs to be like this because of the situation. When I was then part of the response in North Kivu in 2019, that was a bit different. So one example, I was based in Goma for part of it. So it was as part of this analytical cell. So there we were, it was quite a different response. It was really working as a data analyst, so using R on a daily basis. So getting all these different data sets from, whether that be from IPC, whether that be from surveillance, whether that be from lab, and trying to do analysis on those to produce kind of outputs to inform decision making. And that was a really daily part of the work. So it wasn't based kind of like, in that sense, field. It was really kind of a data analytics focused epidemiology when it came to the North Kivu response. In part, that was also to do with security. So it was considered safer to have us based in this analytical cell in Goma rather than to be moving in the other parts of the Kivus, whereas security was less of an issue in the Equator region on the west in the 2018 outbreak, so that we had greater capacity to be out, you know, in the different villages and following up with alerts and contact tracing.
I guess with those intense situations, you're working in quite large teams of people, as you mentioned, from microbiologists and field workers and other field epidemiologists as well. How would you describe, maybe on the sort of softer skills in terms of team working and that kind of thing, what would you think are sort of the most important attributes that you think a field epidemiologist needs in those kinds of situations?
Yeah. Well, first of all, a lot of flexibility. I think, especially in emergencies, you're going in as an epidemiologist, a public health specialist, but there might be, I don't know, I think from MSF, you might have to load a vehicle. You might have to unload things. You really have to, in an emergency situation, do what's needed. And so part of your role will be, for sure, being your epidemiologist, but part of it also will be seeing, well, what's the need? Who else could be, you know, could benefit from your assistance in smaller and bigger ways. And so being kind of mindful and kind of reading the room of, like, you know, what's needed out there, I think is quite big. Communication is super, I mean, it's basic, but also super essential, that you're explaining what your needs are as an epidemiologist, how you can be useful in that space, but also that you're, you know, able to support in the ways that are needed. But yeah, for me, flexibility, adaptability, getting on with people, spending time sometimes also in your downtime, just so you build that trust and not just kind of, I'm an epidemiologist by day and then I sleep and that's it. And there's no kind of person time. I think your humanity is kind of the biggest kind of asset that you bring to a team in those safe situations.
No, that's really interesting about just getting stuck in with where the need is. That's really interesting. And just on the point you made about, I guess, that sort of work-life balance point that you made. I mean, you've worked in global health and field epidemiology for, you know, over 10 years now, and you've described how dynamic and sort of fast-paced it is. I guess maybe for those who maybe are considering a career in field epidemiology or global health, how would you sort of describe, you know, the life of someone working in global health? And what do you think are sort of the pros and cons of that kind of career?
It is quite different, I would say, from working, say, as a field epidemiologist in the UK in some ways. So in the role that I had with the UK Public Health Rapid Support Team, we were essentially like an emergency support team. And so we didn't know when we would be responding to things specific. I think it was particularly strong during that the Ebola period back in 2018, 2019, and that period. And so we were kind of, I guess, deployed, if you want to use that word, like quite often and with relatively short notice. So that can be exciting in some ways, but also can be hard to balance your personal life as well within those spaces. In my current role, I sometimes respond to emergencies, but most of the time I have planned visits where I go to the countries that I support. And so it's a bit more, it's not so kind of a last minute, it really has to be planned several months ahead and these kind of things. But again, sometimes there will be unexpected emergencies where you have to go. But for the most part, in this kind of position I have now, it's possible to plan those. At the same time, you know, we will go for 3-4 weeks at a time, maybe up to 6 weeks. So then there's still that kind of stepping in and out of your personal life as well. So it's something that has to be managed. And yeah.
So yeah, I guess it depends on your role and...
And your situation.
Yeah.
Family situation, all those kinds of things, yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, great. So we're coming to the end of the episode, Patrick. It's been a really great conversation. So we have a sort of custom on the podcast where we sort of end with a sort of career tip. So I guess in that sense, what's your one career tip that you would give to someone aspiring to be a field epidemiologist?
One tip. I mean, if they want to work in global health, then learning French is a huge, huge asset. Since when I joined Epiette, one of the reasons I joined Epiette was I could speak French, and pretty much every positions that I've had since then, and actually even before, even a few years before, have been because I had French language skills. So if the interest for the field epi is global health epi, then I think having French is a huge asset. Arabic, also amazing. It's even like the finding an Arabic and French and English speaker is like gold dust. Getting those is really amazing. And just being flexible, I think, taking your learning opportunities when you can, trying out different things. But yeah, that's kind of some thoughts I would have.
No, thanks so much, Patrick. That's really, yeah, really practical, I think, point to end on. Thanks so much for joining, and I hope you've enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. Thanks a lot, Kasim. Amazing.
Great. Thanks, Patrick. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you found it valuable, please leave us a review and follow us on Twitter for news and updates on future episodes.